Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. Unfortunately, tonight, Misty is unable to be with me because she's tied up in Kentucky doing a project that she just can't get away from. So tonight the show is consisting of me. So good evening, everybody, and I'm going to do my best at doing this show solo. And if possible, if you would like to call in, that would be a big help. If you have any comments you'd like to make, I'm going to give you the call-in number. And I'd love to hear from you if you're available. And it's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again for you. It's area code 646-716-4893. And it's always wonderful to have people call in so they don't have to listen. Everybody doesn't have to listen just to me. But that's okay. I have plenty of material to go over that we were going to discuss tonight. So if you just want to sit and listen, that's fine. And we'll carry this as long as I can go. And we'll see however it goes. I'll do my best here. So several people have written to me this week about issues that I thought I would discuss on the air. And I'm going to start with one from a wonderful member of our support network who was very upset because there was a news article out earlier in the week, and even though it's supposed to be funny and light, you know, she took a little bit of offense to it, as she said to me that normally she may have felt differently, but now that she's going through our situation, it just spins it in a different type of light. And maybe some of you saw it. It's called Gay Men Will Marry Your Girlfriend. And this was supposed to be humorous, and I guess depending on who you are listening to it, I'm not sure if you heard it, but I'm going to see if I can play this for you. I hope you can hear it. And if you can't, you can send me a message at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you the link. But let's see if you can hear this. Hold on one second. This was in the Huffington Post, and it's listed under comedy. And let me just hit into the link, and we'll see if you think it's funny. It's just a couple of minutes.
Americans are becoming more comfortable with the idea of gay marriage, seeing it as both a moral and civil rights issue.
But there are many out there who are still fighting against the cause.
And as gay men ourselves, we would just like to say to those people,
fine, keep marriage between a man and a woman. And in response, we will marry your girlfriend.
We'll marry your girlfriend.
What? You don't think we could?
We'd be the best husbands ever.
Have you seen us? We are ripped.
All of us are ripped.
It doesn't seem statistically possible, and yet it's true.
Because we love going to the gym. And you know who else loves going to the gym? Your girlfriend.
We will go to the gym with her, and then after, we'll get Pinkberry as a reward. That sounds like a great time to us.
Not to mention, we dress better than you. While you were spilling Manwich on your cargo shorts, we were inspecting our Oxford shirts for the craftsmanship of their gauntlet buttons.
What do you make your girlfriend for breakfast? Burnt scrambled egg? We will make her a quiche.
A motherfucking quiche.
With a side of hummus, made from scratch. Do you even know the difference between hummus and baba ganoush? You're a joke.
And don't even get us started on dates.
You don't want to go dancing? We teach a dance class.
Urban tango.
You're not on the list for that art gallery opening?
We'll be the owner, Maurice.
Not in the mood to go to that Broadway show. We are.
We're in it.
Yes, we would like to go to that 80s theme costume party. And no, we weren't just checking out that other girl.
Obviously.
Ew.
We could listen to your girlfriend for hours, just reassuring her that she's not the crazy one.
Cassandra is being a bitch.
Also, her dad loves us.
That's because he's not threatened by us. In fact, we're playing tennis with him right now. Well played, Mr. Bennett.
Now you're probably thinking sex. That's where you have us beat.
We already know how she likes to be kissed.
She thinks it's funny to make out with us when she's drunk.
And you know all those sweet spots, preferences, and fantasies that she's too embarrassed to tell you or thinks you should innately know?
Yeah, she's told us. We could play her like an upright bait.
And the kind of threesome she wants?
Oh, we're cool with that. As if all this isn't enough, we're the shoulder that your girlfriend cries on when she's complaining about you.
We know literally all of your weaknesses.
You are Death Stars, and we are an army of fabulous Luke Skywalkers.
So remember, we're doing you a huge solid by being more attracted to each other than to your girlfriend.
But if you stay closed-minded about this, we will take one for the team and marry the crap out of them.
So don't make us marry your girlfriend.
Support gay marriage.
Okay, that was the little clip from, you know, men, gay men will marry your girlfriend. And, I mean, it wasn't hilariously funny to me, but I guess other people, it's on the humor page of the Huffington Post, so other people must be finding it funny. And I did want to comment on that. I think where they really went wrong in getting their message across, because this is about we will marry your girlfriend, which is nice, but I don't think many men really feel threatened by that. I think they would feel that's kind of funny. I think it would be better if they would say, gay men will marry your daughter. And I think that would certainly go over bigger as far as, you know, people listening to this message and maybe having the impact on gay marriage that they were looking for it to have. So, I don't, like I say, I think that I would think twice, you know, as a parent, about, well, maybe I should be in favor of gay marriage because of the fact that I don't want a gay man marrying my daughter. And I think that many of us can relate to that because we are in that situation. So I think it was, I can see where it's really hurtful when you're going through this, but I'm so far removed from that hurt feeling. But I didn't really find it very funny either. But I think maybe it will get the point across because people are looking for rights as far as gay marriage. And, of course, I 100%, 1,000% support that. And I really believe that gay people someday will have equality as far as that's concerned. Probably not in my lifetime, but, you know, another 20, 30 years from now, I don't think it will be a major issue. And I hope not, because I believe that gay people should have the same rights as straight people when it comes to getting married. And I'm hoping that homosexuality will someday be accepted well enough so that gay people won't feel the need to have to marry straight people. So, and a couple of other things I wanted to talk about tonight, and I thought that this is really excellent. I've been reading some articles on signs to know your husband is cheating, 21 ways to know, and what I think is really interesting that this was really written from the point of view of a straight couple, but I think that so many of the signs are also so relevant to when you have a gay husband. So even though I'm reading this from a straight article, I think that it really applies either way. And we're always looking for signs, and in fact, I'm involved with a new company. I just met with them this week, and it's a wonderful company. I'm hoping to have the owner of it come on the show in the next week or two, with new ways that you can catch, you know, your spouse cheating, you know, that new creative ways how to catch your husband cheating that I hadn't really known about or hadn't thought about before. But so many times women really need that final closure to know that there's something going on, and I think it's wonderful that I'll be able to help them get the mechanisms to actually prove this. So I'm very excited about it, and that should be coming on in the next week or two. But in the meantime, let me read you this article. And this is an article by Michael Howard, Wendy Kay, Don Peters, and Suzanne Jorgensen from YourTango.com. And it says, every woman in a relationship worries about infidelity. But unless he stumbles it late at night smelling like cheap perfume, it can be tough to tell whether your man is having an affair. Well, in our case, men's shaving lotion. Thankfully, our experts are here to help. Below are some of the ways you can discern whether he's just being jealous or if he's actually up to no good. And once again, even though this was written for straight people, you're going to see how similar it is to people, women who are in our situation. The number one is he takes or makes phone calls in private. Although there may be a need for privacy when talking or making phone calls, if your partner retreats to the other room every time the phone rings, there may be something more going on, especially if this behavior is new or has suddenly become more frequent. Now, number two that's listed, that I think that a lot of us can relate to, is that he deletes the text history on his phone. Most people do not bother deleting old text messages, at least not until the phone is full. If your partner makes sure that old messages are deleted, or worse, he deletes them as soon as he finishes a conversation with someone, there may be more going on than just texting. And I think that's something that's really common that a lot of women mention to me, you know, why they are suspicious. So it's nice to have that confirmed. Next, it says he maintains multiple email or social media accounts. If you discover additional or hidden email or social media sites, things are almost certainly not good. Simply put, people in committed relationships have no need to maintain accounts that their partners don't know about. If you discover one of these, it's time to be concerned. And, of course, just to add on to that, going back to the computer behaviors, I say that if your husband's not willing to give you his password, then I'd have to wonder why not. What is he trying to hide from you? I mean, I know that people need their privacy, but I really feel that if somebody's not hiding something, he should be willing to give you his password. Next, it says he avoids family or other social events. Infidelity, whether physical or emotional, will always result in lost time with friends and family. If your partner avoids social gathering or activities, leaves early or arrives late because of some project or task, there may be a strong chance that he is spending time with someone else, whether on the phone, the computer, or in person. Next, it says he suddenly spends tons of time with another person. If your partner is suddenly spending a lot of time with a colleague, coworker, friend, or even an acquaintance, particularly if that person is of the opposite sex, well, in our case, of the same sex, you may want to learn more about this relationship and the possibility that there may be an affair going on. And for many women that, you know, I've spoken to and others who have been on this show, it's really interesting how they mention that they notice that all of a sudden their husbands have a new friend, and he's spending an exorbitant amount of time with this friend, and they're really concerned, why is he so interested in that friendship? So I think that is definitely a sign. Here's another one. He gives gifts or frequently volunteers to help another person. Although it's nice to give gifts and do things for friends, family members, and even strangers, if your partner frequently gives gifts, especially those that are costly, take time and effort to prepare or significant meaning or, take time and effort to prepare or have significant meaning or volunteers to help out with projects of this around the home. This may be a sign that he's having an emotional affair. So if your partner frequently gives gifts, especially those that are costly, take time and effort to prepare it up. Yep, that would definitely do it. All right, here's one that I have people tell me about also. You notice a different scent on him. Whether it's another woman's perfume or possibly a different brand of soap from showering elsewhere, your senses know things. If he's coming back home freshly showered after a full day of work, the same way he left for work, that may be him. He's having an affair. Tip number 8 is he doesn't touch you as much. Sometimes the affection drops off a bit due to poor communications, unresolved issues, or recent argument. If this is unexplained behavior, he is repelling you with odd excuses, you may have a hint. At minimum, you have an issue in your relationship that needs to be addressed honestly. Here's one that's also a common complaint with women. He dresses differently. Has your husband started to dress a little differently does your husband start to dress a little differently, or does he keep his vehicle a bit cleaner? Has he been acting slightly happier and more cooperative, yet all of a sudden he's busier and just leaving the house more often, like going out with friends, running more errands, etc.? If so, take heed. Take interest in his new activity involvement if you're curious to what's really going on. Here's another tip, that he's gone longer. Does your man usually take the dog out for a half-hour run every day, but now it's a 60 to 90-minute walk, run? Who is he running into all of a sudden at a dog park in a neighborhood? If it's not Chatty Cathy, maybe having an affair. go with him once in a while. Okay, that was another tip. Here's one. He picks fights. Is your husband starting arguments that end up in him leaving the house a lot? Are his garments coming up missing here and there? If so, something's going on. The next one is he's being extra secretive. When your husband suddenly has a change in his privacy attitude, all of a sudden you're not supposed to know his whereabouts or who he's talking to on the phone, and it's not close to your birthday, anniversary, or upcoming gift holiday, he may have be having an affair. Number 13 is there's a change in the emotional quality of your relationship. This may be shown as your partner is unengaged or overly engaged. We all go through emotional changes like the weather. However, you may notice that your partner's attitude has changed toward you over time. They may have become more self-absorbed and less interested in you or the relationship. Often, your partner may reject your offers of affection. Your best approach here is to pay attention and be curious. The next one is, he's extremely angry. Anger and criticism that borders on cruelty is hard to take for all of us. Your partner may treat you with rudeness or impatience. He may be more controlling and more critical than usual. You may sense an increase in the degree of unhappiness you see in your spouse that is difficult to understand. With some partners, you may actually see an increase in happiness as a result of being involved in an affair. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, too, and that's so true. This one is you notice an increase of his work or his time spent away from home. Work can be demanding. During these times of economic stress, most workplaces are demanding more and more from their employees. Workplace relationships can develop into romantic relationships simply because of the amount of time spent together on a common task tends to bring people together. If your partner has trouble with boundaries, this could lead to a problem for your relationship. One is that he pays an unusual amount of attention to his appearance. This would be especially telling if up till now your partner has not shown much attention to his appearance. If your partner is having an affair, he has found a new source of love and affection. Looking good for his paramour is very important. Here's one that he's overly defensive. Defensiveness exists for many reasons. In the past, were you able to discuss issues openly and calmly? What are you looking for in an increase in a normal amount of defensiveness? The next is that his appearance has changed. And it says your partner, who previously dressed conservatively, is now buying designer boxer shorts and more trendy clothes. Or your partner, who never spent much time grooming himself, is now fussing about how his hair looks and uses grooming products he's never used before. Next, his behavior has changed. Your partner, who usually avoided office partying events, is now attending them for the sake of his career. That's a quote-unquote on that. Or your partner suddenly takes up and becomes obsessed with a new hobby or sport that keeps him away from home. Or your partner, who usually is home for Sunday dinner at night, now works late and takes more frequent business trips. Number 20 is that his attitude has changed. Your laid-back partner seems to have been injected with his usual enthusiasm, seems more happy, alive, energetic, and is more kind and loving towards you, too. He may buy you more gifts and shower you with surprises, which until now has not been the nature of his character. And the last one is he wants less we time and more me time. When you got together as a couple, you consciously or unconsciously negotiated how much time you would have and how much we time we would have as a couple. Now you are noticing a shift from we to your partner wanting it much more me time. You aren't included to the degree you used to be in your partner's extracurricular activities. So these were the 21 hints, and quite frankly, I think that most of them are really wonderful. And, you know, I want to discuss just a few of you because I think that we all go through these. The first one about making phone calls in private, I think that that's definitely a sign. Women say they walk in on their husbands are in other rooms, the phone's ringing, you know, at odd times. So I think phone calls is a definite way to start, you know, tracking this down. If you see, I think a woman can sense this. And what I loved about this article is that it's really written for women with straight husbands, and yet it's so applicable to us, for women with gay husbands. I mean, because these guys are doing the same thing. The next one was about deleting text history on his phone. I mean, I know guys, the minute they finish talking to women, they're always deleting it, and I would say to them, well, why are you deleting it right away? Well, what if somebody looks at it? What if somebody catches me? And, you know, I would have never even thought about that, but they told me that they do that. And about, you know, the email and social media accounts, I had an issue with a woman who came to me a few weeks ago, and she said, you know, I'm really unhappy with my, you know, husband, our situation's really deteriorating. And she was talking about some of his habits, including his computer habits. And she was saying, I don't understand why he has to maintain a Facebook account. Who are these women, you know, or men that he's writing to? And, you know, as we further discussed it and as, you know, we've been talking in the last few weeks, it turns out that her husband has a sexual addiction. So it's not always about just gay. Some men do have sexual addictions. And, but once again, from just like I say, these social media accounts where they meet people and Match.com, and he had, I guess, about 8 different accounts that she finally caught him with, and she couldn't understand it. And one thing led to another, and it turned out, like I say, he was a sex addict. So I have to worry when men are still, you know, they're married or involved with you, but they're keeping on these social media accounts or dating services. As far as avoiding family or social events, well, I think that's part of the isolation, that these men, you know, like to keep us isolated, so they find excuses or reasons why they can't go to different places. So I think that's very realistic. About volunteering time, I see that happening a lot. When a man meets somebody that he's interested in, he'll come up with 22 excuses why he needs to be there with him. The guy needs help. He's just moving into the neighborhood. You know, you want to give him a hand. He has to move his furniture. You know, you come up with all of these different reasons why you need to help him. And that's something that I've seen personally also. As far as noticing a different scent, I think that's a really interesting concept. Because some men, if they're with another person, you know, when they come home, they smell totally different than the way they left. So you can tell if it's a man's shaving lotion that maybe your husband was with another man at that point. So, you know, like these little things that we take for granted, you have to trust your instincts with. He doesn't touch you as much. Well, that's a definite sign for us. For straight wives, you know, our husbands aren't touching us much at all anyway. And as far as dressing differently, how many women have told me that once their husbands are seeing someone or they're starting to act on their homosexuality, their look totally changes? A lot of these guys start really working out to lose weight because they really want to be accepted in the gay community and they want to meet other gay guys, and they feel that by looking their best, that's going to give them the best opportunity. So not only does he dress differently, but you'll often find him going to the gym. And here this one says he's gone longer. Well, that's certainly true. And picking fights? Absolutely. They're frustrated, and you're holding the key to their frustration. So naturally, they're going to pick fights with you. As far as being extra secretive, a lot of these guys are extra secretive. And it has nothing to do about, you know, straight gay relationships. They're just very secretive because they don't want anybody finding out their secret. So a lot of these things, he's extremely angry. Yeah, well, that happens a lot with these men because they feel very trapped. And when they feel that you're questioning them or you're looking for them, they feel even more trapped. So to me, it comes as no surprise that some of them are angry. And, you know, his appearance has changed. I think appearance changing, we talked about that. And so these are some of the reasons, like I say, are some of the ways that you can tell people are cheating. And I think it's a really good list. If you would like a copy of this list, just send me your name at bondk@aol.com, and I'll be more than happy to provide it for you. So the third thing I wanted to talk a little bit about was about divorce during the holiday season. Because there's a lot of controversy about that, and some people are saying, well, you have to make new traditions, and, you know, the past is the past, and let's see what you can learn from it, and let's see the lessons that are learned. And I read this article, and I thought it was made some really good points. And once again, this has nothing to do with straight gay marriages per se, but it does certainly spill into them. And this was written, let's see who the writer of this article is, from the Huffington Post. And her name is Anne Vitello, or Vitello, and it says that I was sitting among a circle of earnest at an Omega Institute retreat weekend. It was the first of a total of four nights that I had taken for myself away from home during a 12-year marriage. Not that I hadn't been away overnight on other occasions, but it seems reasonable not to count the weekends at cancer hospitals and rehabs with my dad, though that rare quiet breakfast in Cincinnati Airport did feel like a guilty indulgence. Participants discussed their feelings of alienation at holiday gatherings. The vegan loathed the feasting on the dead animal flesh. The still closeted gay son only dreaded the inquiries about his relationship status. The troubled poet felt she would grind her teeth to splinter, suppressing an outburst. The long married yearned for a different life. All in turn expressed their personalized version of the same theme, a silent scream of alienation. By the time it was my turn, I had overcome my fear of seeming dull and mustered the courage to express something counter to the growing consensus of anti-traditional proclamations. Well, as the person who probably would have spent the week prior to the holiday cleaning, shopping, decorating, and cooking, I'm starting to get that same feeling sitting here from this in this chair. Same sense of being an outsider. Different scenario, and the lesson that often feelings of otherness are our own creation, not something that those around us are imposing. Divorce has become so commonplace and accepted, there's no reason to feel like an outsider. However, try telling that to odd Uncle H, who opted out of three invitations because he would prefer solitude over a pitying glance or well-intentioned advisory speech. And tell the same to kooky Aunt F, who has two Chardonnays in the evening and 3 feet from the kids' table when she blurted out that she hit the dating lotto in her post-divorce lover, landing a guy who was hung like a cannon after enduring years of sexual famine. The divorced are, at worst, in grief, and in best, in transition. Those altered states can make for some odd company. We may drink too much, talk too much, and not want to talk, not want to eat, not do our share of the dishes, not remember people's names or presents. We may break from tradition, possibly spend holidays visiting new places rather than facing lifelong family. We may dread being set up on a blind date or resent being passed up for one. If we are without our own kids, it might be hard enjoying yours. We may have a new relationship and feel extra weird about it, or may seem too comfortable or entitled to our new freedom for your own liking. It's all about perspective, and more than that, it's about compassion. Forget empathy for the moment. It's unattainable for all but a few human beings. We seek one another's company, or we don't, at holiday time, and the perfect gift we could give everybody is some slack. It's free, after all, and it is the most appropriate choice, especially when you don't have to relate to a recipient's point of view. Of course, holidays can be treacherous for anybody, including marrieds. Heck, I remember in-laws, too. It wasn't that long ago. But the occasional tensions among extended family can look like child's play compared to the post-divorce potential for drama. Who knew about the infamous chopped liver incident of 99 would eventually pale in comparison with this year's invitation sabotage? If the holidays can be an emotional minefield, then the holidays plus divorce can be that same minefield being spritzed with napalm. So let's declare a truce. We accept our smugness or intolerance. You accept our grandiosity or mopiness. A generosity of the heart may bring us to an unconventional outcomes that are, in fact, most true to the spirit of the season. Last year marked the first time since their birth that I spent Thanksgiving without my daughters. I felt abundant gratitude towards my sister, who, though the keeper of great traditions, was understanding about my declining to spend the day in her crowded, happy home. She offered alternatively the private use of her beautiful house, mountain lake house, where I could instead create a new way of enjoying a quiet holiday. A good policy? Have mercy even when it seems unwarranted. We know that marriage can be a drag. In fact, who knows it better than us? And ironically, this is me, a sidebar from that article, who does know that better than us? It is a drag. Or some of these men are in drag. But divorce is a death, even if sometimes akin to a euthanasia. And deaths, like births, mean upheaval. So a recently divorced person is no more assured of normal behavior than are the behaved who have just pulled the plug on a loved one or a woman who has just given birth. It's understandable that if your marriage is less than blissful, you may have scant patience for divorcees who can't keep a lid on their annoying exhilaration or depressing drama. They may seem deserving of destitution of their personal or financial lives. However, when in doubt, let's give the benefit of same, because it is often the case among human beings we are more alike than we are different. So the reason why I picked that article is because it really did address many points that I thought were important, and especially the one that, you know, when your life is in transit and your life is different than it was in the past, and it says holidays can be treacherous for anybody, including the married. Heck, I remember the in-laws, too. It wasn't that long ago. But it says that, you know, you have to accept the fact that if somebody's not happy being around running kids, you know, that this is just a constant reminder for them. And I know that for me, Thanksgiving is probably my worst holiday. I tell everybody that once a year I like to have a big pity party, and for me it's on Thanksgiving Day. And in fact, my last newsletter that came out this week, you know, I talked about having a pity party for yourself. There are days when you just feel you need to have one, and there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you pick a date and you have to just kind of mourn it, live through it, you know, have your little pity party for the day, but you have to be able to move on from it. But I think pity parties are really important in the sense that certain holidays that are triggers, or if you have to be by yourself, and a number of women are because of the custody issues that the husbands get to have the children, and, you know, the women are by themselves, and they just don't feel like being with the family. I know that I, myself, I kind of like isolating on that day, you know, because of my own experiences. Thanksgiving time, it was 6 years ago, when I lost my son during this week, and even 6 years later, I'm still traumatized by it. So I'm not ready to sit for a whole big family dinner. You know, I go out with a friend and leave it at that, you know, and I don't make a big deal over it. But, you know, I'm certainly invited by my family, but I don't want to have to go on a day that's so painful for me and pretend like it doesn't exist. So I tell women, if you're going through a really hard time, this is the time that you should allow yourself to have that pity party, as long as you only have to realize that it's only going to last for a day or two. And after that, you need to get yourself back on track. I mean, that's the whole point, that, you know, it is a difficult time, but these are some really good tips as far as how you should be feeling about it. And if something's not comfortable for you, you need to walk away from it. And there's no shame and there's no crime in that. So even though this is a shortened show, I really just wanted to touch base with all of you. I know Thanksgiving is a very important holiday for many people around the world, and especially in this country, because it's going to be here this week. And sometimes it's really hard to think about giving thanks when you don't even know what to be thankful for, especially if you're in transition or just getting, you know, out of your marriage, or this is your first holiday alone or first Thanksgiving alone. And it can be that much harder when you don't have friends or family around, when you're kind of isolated by yourself. But there are many different kinds of activities that you can do. You can always volunteer to help people who are less fortunate than you, and they would really appreciate that help. You can go to friends to Thanksgiving movies. There's movies all over the place. You know, if you're in the middle of collecting anything or you have any hobbies that you'd like to do, this is a good time to do it. Most people are off on Friday in a lot of businesses, so you have time to start a project before Thanksgiving and finish it over the weekend. you know, there's so many different things that you can do, and I hope that you find one that's really great for you. So I'm going to be ending the show tonight. We have no callers calling in. And I just wanted to wish everybody a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. And if you need help in any way as far as support, I will be online in my online support group on Thursday evening on Thanksgiving. Also, I'll have support chat that evening, and I'll be there. And I'm hoping to see all of you there, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. And remember that there's lots of wonderful and beautiful things around the corner for you. You just have to look for them and be willing to take them when you find them. So without further ado, I'm going to say goodnight to our listeners and wish you the best week, the best, you know, ever. And I hope the holiday time is pleasant for you. If you need extra support, just join our chat room or drop me a note. I'll be here from you. As I tell our women, I'm only a click away. All right, love to all of you, and have a great night. Bye-bye.